Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
All right, welcome back to Podcast 11 of 2019. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can tweet me at the Public Dog, and you can tweet us at the Odds Breakers. My friends, we have a fantastic show for you today. We have a new guest and longtime handicapper, Jimmy Boyd, to come on and educate us about some of his takes in college basketball and breaks down some information on key numbers. This episode is being sponsored by uwager.eu. For a 50% sign-up bonus, please visit uwager. Use the promo code TheOddsBreakers. Terms and conditions apply. If you'd like to help us out with our costs, we would love to help you out. Please visit theoddsbreakers.com and become a member for $12.99 a month, and we will give you our picks and premium picks before the line moves. For $2 more, you can become a patron subscriber and also get the podcast a little bit early. And if nothing else, please visit theoddsbreakers.com and become a free picks newsletter subscriber. I'd like to start this episode out with a little news here. Obviously, if you're under a rock, Zion Williamson sprained his knee. 1 minute into that North Carolina game, brutal for Duke. You know, that he's their most electric player, maybe their best player, Barrett and him. You can make any arguments, but him going out in the first minute of this game certainly changed everything. It caused this game to most likely go under, which was kind of against what we were going. There are people definitely worried for him, but North Carolina covered with ease after that happened. Duke couldn't hit a three. It was just an awful situation for Duke. This game still finished all the way up to 160 points, even with Zion out. But I expect him to be back. I would think from the reports that I heard, he's not going to be out over a week even. I think they're going to definitely rest him for the next game. But I can definitely see him coming back maybe a week or two if it's a low-grade sprain, like what people are thinking. He was actually able to kind of hobble off anyway. Of course, I'm no doctor. We'll be keeping track on Zion and retweeting anything that we can hear about him. And other news, very tragic. Jim Boeheim was driving in the interstate in New York, and he ran into a pedestrian. Apparently, a car got in an accident or broke down, and the passenger unfortunately came out of the car, and he was struck by Jim. And that's got to be very tough. You know, I wouldn't know what to think if I accidentally killed somebody, even though it was my fault. It would be very strange, thinking about that, and then probably replaying it in your head a bunch of times, wondering if there's any way you could have avoided that. So definitely my heart goes out to that family, as well as Jim Boeheim's family, too, getting through this very tough time. Definitely lesson to be learned. If you fast interstate, stay in your car. Until the police and ambulances get there, unless maybe somebody's life is completely in danger and you think you can possibly help them. But this is definitely a tragedy, and Jim Boeheim, huge part of college basketball. All right, well, next I want to get into my Big Ten rankings here, and we have a new, well, not new, they're there before, number one, and that's Michigan State. You know, they edge out Purdue, but like I said before, these two teams are very, very close in my book. Michigan State has faced a little adversity against Rutgers at home, but then they just put the pedal to the metal and ended up winning by 11 points. They're losing at half, but, they beat Ohio State. They beat Rutgers. They won their last four games in a row, including games against Minnesota and Wisconsin. When you look at Purdue,
they had that Maryland loss. They won at Penn State at home. Then that game at Indiana, they couldn't hit any threes. They won by 2 points at the very end. Such a bad game. In Indiana, they may have had a little home cooking, but Purdue should have took care of them a little bit better, and that's why I made the switch. But still, both of these teams are definitely at the top of the Big Ten. Michigan's next. No changes there. Michigan, then you have Wisconsin is fourth. I have Maryland fifth. I have Iowa sixth. Minnesota seventh. Nebraska is eighth. They keep falling down. Got destroyed at Penn State recently. Ohio State is ninth. Indiana is 10th. Illinois is 11th. And I'm really thinking about moving Illinois up a little bit more. Penn State is 12th. A little bit of love for destroying an injured Nebraska team. Rutgers is 13th. And Northwestern, still bringing up the bottom of the Big Ten, is 14th. So that's how I kind of rank them. And we'll be updating you every single week where we think, you know, these teams are. All right, before we bring in our guests, I want to handicap a couple quick games for you that I was able to throw together for the weekend. So we're looking at Friday, which I believe is February 22nd. I'm looking at Indiana versus Iowa. Iowa's going to be laying about 7 points. The over-under is going to be about 147 here. So, you know, how poor is this Indiana team when you look at, you know, what they've been doing? I see them as the Oklahoma Sooners of last year. I mean, last year Sooners had that young kid, Trey Jones, I believe his name was. It was Trey Young. And this year you have Josh Langford, the freshman for, you know, top five recruit for Indiana. But, you know, they both went through their non-conference schedule destroying really good teams. You know, Indiana beat Louisville, a couple other big games that they had. And then they reached the Big Ten, just like Oklahoma did in the Big 12, and completely collapsed. You know, just completely. You know, and you wonder if Indiana is going to make the tournament. You wondered that about Oklahoma too. You know, the only Big Ten game that Indiana won was against Michigan State. They've lost every single other one of them, and that was like, you know, roughly 13 games or so. So that was that's pretty bad. But their big wins against Marquette and Louisville, you know, and Butler, that could be enough to cast them into the tournament just from what they did from the start. But at the same time, this team has really went downhill. Back to the handicap. I got to tell you, if you're looking to bet on Indiana, or if you have been, it's been bad too. 3-10 against the spread in conference play. They only have that one cover, like I said, against Michigan State when they somehow won that game. Now they have to travel to an Iowa team coming off a close loss versus Maryland. Iowa has the third best offense in the Big Ten. Now, they don't have that much of a defense. It ranks last, but they are very, very explosive, especially at home. The best thing that Indiana has going for them is probably that Iowa has the worst defense this game, but nobody's been more bipolar in the Big Ten in the splits, the home road splits, than the Hoosiers. The Hoosiers average 6 less points per game on the road versus home, and they give up 13.5 more points per game on the road than they do at home. I mean, 16 points of difference there? That's a lot. Iowa, on the other hand, is, as you would expect, much better at home, allowing 3 less points per game on defense and scoring 4 more points 4 more points per game at home than on the road. About a 7-point difference there. But they score 82 points per game at home. That's pretty good. You know, the spread's going to be pretty big, seeing that Indiana already lost to this team at home 72-77. 5-point margin at Indiana. And if you look at Indiana's situation, you know, after losing that close game at Purdue, I have to wonder where their minds are at. They almost had them, and they just kind of had another crushing defeat, and now they have to go on the road and travel all the way to Iowa. Looking at these splits, right, these massive splits with Indiana in this situation, Iowa losing to Maryland, I think Iowa comes back big. I think they bounce back after that loss. So even though you're going to be looking at about a 7-8-point spread here, I have this game Iowa 80 to Indiana 69. I think they kind of put it to them. I like Iowa minus 7, and I lean to the over. All right, let's get into one more game. Ohio State versus Maryland. Maryland, and this is a Saturday game, Maryland's going to be laying about 7 points. Over-under is about 130-ish. So this is a road revenge spot here for Ohio State, but how can they be trusted here, right? They only have one true away game that's a win in this whole conference against the bad Indiana team we just discussed. Only one away win in the Big Ten. You're going to see a healthy spread here of about 7 or 8 points in favor for Maryland. But I'm not so sure I want to lay that kind of number, even though Ohio State's only 6-10 against the spread after a win. You know, that's still 7-8 points here when Maryland's coming off a win. You know, Maryland finally got their big road victory, okay, against Iowa team. Iowa was ranked. So it's always been that, you know, Maryland cannot run on the road against a ranked team. Well, they finally did. So this is kind of a letdown spot. And that's another reason why I'm not necessarily jumping at the spread here. If it's right, I will, but not at 7 or 8 points. The one thing that I can count on is the fact that both of these teams have had some huge defensive performances, right? Both teams play very slow, just like the Big Ten. And they have top 20 defenses in the nation. Ohio State's still top 20 on KenPom. Maryland's top 20 on KenPom. You know, Ohio State also somehow allows 3 less points per game on the road. You know, you think you would allow less at home, but, you know, there's already been a decent sample size here, and they allow 3 points less when they play on the road. So they probably even play a little bit slower. So due to these teams' recent wins, and it might not be a bad idea to check the under here. As long as it's over 128 points or so, Ohio State unders in the conference are 9-5-1. And Maryland, their unders in the conference are 10-6. So I'm loving the trend. I'm taking it under 130, all the way down to 128. Maybe 127. We'll see how it goes. But we're going to nail this under, and that's the play for Saturday. You know, speaking of Big Ten unders, I ran some numbers myself here, okay? And you might be a little bit surprised, but Big Ten unders all year, these teams are 56.1% as of Tuesday when I ran the numbers. So 56.1% of all Big Ten games have already went under this year. That's pretty big sample size. And then if you look at in-conference play, it's actually 56.8%. And I believe after Wednesday's games, it might even be closer to 57% now. And that's a pretty interesting thing. Big Ten unders have been hot. Unfortunately, I'm starting to notice the bettors realize this. And if you look at the sharper action, it's pounding the unders right away. So my advice would be, if you like the under in some of these Big Ten games, strange enough, you might want to hit it either right away or right before the game, because there's going to be some bettors that do this professionally and do it quite often, or they just like to bet every day, like all of us, that will be betting these unders just based on this trend. So, you know, normally you take unders right before the game and take overs right away, but in this case, you're going to take the Big Ten unders, I think, right when these games kind of come out. All right, without further ado, let's bring in our guest, Jimmy Boyd. And now I'd like to welcome a very well-known and decorated handicapper in the industry. Jimmy is 161 and 123 in his last 284 top plays. You can get some of his free picks at boydsbets.com. You can follow Jimmy on Twitter at boydsbets. I'd like to welcome Jimmy Boyd to the Odds Breakers podcast. How you doing, man?
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
We're happy to have you, man. It's always great to have new perspectives here, and I've been following your website for a very long time here, and I'm glad I finally was able to get you on here. Why don't you quick introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell them a little bit about your handicapping and sports betting history.
Yeah, sure. So, like you said, my name is Jimmy Boyd. I run the handicapping site over at boydsbets.com. It's where I post a lot of my personal stuff. I'm also a co-owner over at sportscapping.com, where we track, monitor, and sell picks from a variety of different handicappers. I got in the handicapping business back in the fall of 2002, so at this point, I've been around for a long time. seems like yesterday I was just the industry rookie, if you will, but now I'm an aged veteran. So, growing up, I was just always interested in sports, and not just watching them, but also like the stats and things like that, kind of the numbers behind why things were going the way they were. I'd keep stats of our, recess basketball games, right, and tell everybody what their field goal percentage was. So I'm kind of the stat geek kind of guy. I'm not necessarily a matchup analysis. I couldn't tell you every player on every team in college basketball by any means. But what I do is more just put together a model of numbers. So I throw in the key stats, and it kind of spits me out how much a team should be favored by, and I use more of that. And once I get that, I look into the game, right, to make sure nobody's hurt, injured, and make sure the matchup fits kind of what it needs to be. So, I've been very fortunate. My background in statistics and computer programming have helped turn me into an advantage sports bettor.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, it's always nice to have little systems there, number systems. You're a numbers guy, it seems, and that's why you're still in the business. definitely do it right, so I love that. And I also love your article on boydsbets.com covering college basketball key numbers. It looks like looking at three is the biggest key number of them all. Can you talk a little bit about that article?
Yeah, sure. So I put this together, a few years ago. I was thinking we had this college football key numbers, the NFL key numbers, right? And everybody knows about 3 and 7 and to a lesser extent, 4 and 10 and how important they are. I was just like, is there anything in basketball, right? And there's not the same kind of scoring system where it just goes by 3 and 7s to lead you to believe that there would be. But when I got digging into the numbers, I really found that 1 and 2 are less common. That's for sure. And I think that's just kind of how the end game plays out, right? If a team's up by one, they get the ball with little time left. The other team fouls, kind of pushes it up a little bit. Last second shots and things like that kind of stick out in people's mind. There's a little bit of cognitive bias there, but it doesn't happen all that often. So you get these margins of 1 and 2 happen around 3.5% of the time. And then from about 3 to 10, you're looking at closer to 4.5% on average. Some of them land more often than others, and 3 seems to be the biggest key. In the last 10 years or so of college basketball, that's landed on there about 5.5% of the time. And
that's when the spread was 3, or is that just all games?
Yeah, so that's when I look at it when the spread's 3, right? So if the spread's 15, it's not going to land on 3 very often. Just how the scores distribute, it's going to be – I like to use the spread – as where I'm looking at the margin of victory, mainly because that should be the meatiest part of your distribution curve. So when the spread's 3, the game lands on 3, 5.5% of the time. That makes sense.
Well, that's awesome information, man. So it seems like 3 is kind of a key number there. And then you said that I think 2 is second, and then you have 5, but 1 is surprisingly uncommon. And I'm looking at this article; it's kind of buried there. So that's interesting. So yeah, I mean, looking at a lot of situations, yeah, the following probably really takes that 1 out of contention, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and it does take 2 out too. 2 is not as common as 3 either. So 3 is the most common at about 5.5%. Then you kind of you kind of hover around 4 as you get up to 10. And from 10 on, the games, there's not as big of a sample size. So you'll get some outliers where, you know, like 15, it lands there 5.5% of the time, but that's only happened 24 times in the last 10 years, right? So just one or two times that doesn't happen, and that percentage would drop quite a bit. So I kind of round it out a little bit just to average it out. And from 3 to 10, have it being 4%, I'm really confident in that number. It's like 4.3%. So.
Perfect. So is it worth it to buy off of the 3 so you're not pushing all these games?
Yeah. So the numbers on that would say that if it lands there 5.5% of the time, that if you buy off of 3, so like if you're taking an underdog that's +3 and you're buying it to +3.5 and you got to pay 10 cents of juice, you're giving up. You have to win about 2.4% of your games to make that worth it. And if it's if it lands on 3 5.5% of the time, you're actually picking up, what is that, 2.8% of percentage point value. So there's a little bit of an edge if you can get 10 cents on or off of a 3. It's not something that I would recommend you just blindly do, right? Like I wouldn't say, hey, the line's 3 tonight. Take the favorite -2.5, -120, and the underdog at +3.5, -120. You still wouldn't make money doing that blindly. But if you like a team that's -3 or +3 and you bought it off there, I think you're giving yourself just a little bit more of an edge. And for the recreational bettor, I mean, they like to win, right? They like to take favorites. And,
sure.
Yeah, they'd rather win 53% of the time and get $100. And that 47% of the time when they lose, pay $120. And they'd be better off than just winning and losing 50% of the time and paying $110 when you lose and picking up $100 when they win. So it's one of those things where it doesn't hurt you. Like, I think everybody just blindly thinks, oh, you're buying a half a point. You know, you're an idiot. But the numbers actually say that you're not. So. It's something to look at.
That's great information, you know, and in not necessarily just buying off the 3. If you're using multiple sports books to place your bets, you can wait out on one of them to possibly move that in your direction. You know, I think that's another important part of this discussion. It's not just buying off the 3. It's shopping that 3. So I found that absolutely fascinating when it comes to your article there. So excellent information there, and hopefully people will take some of that advice. Think about the 3s, and you know, the 5 looks like the third most common number too. And not necessarily, but not buying off 5, but possibly shopping that 5 and seeing if you can find some better lines there, my man. Well, cool. Let's move into and I'm not sure if you get into future betting. We look at some of them. There's absolute ripoffs on some of these lines here. Obviously, everyone that took Duke at +175 to win it all is probably licking their wounds a little bit. That thing went up after Zion's injury, but at the same time, they weren't even undefeated. They lost 2 games. They lost at home to Syracuse. They're a terrible 3-point shooting team, and Vegas is sitting there selling this at +175. Is there any futures out there that you like that you might be able to make some money off of if they hit the tournament, maybe hit the other side?
Yeah, I was looking at that. I saw a couple places still had them around +200 today. And I mean, they're essentially saying that they have a 33% chance of winning it all at that kind of number. And I find it hard to believe that any team with today's college basketball parity has that good of a chance coming in there. So they're definitely feeding off of that Zion hype and taking advantage of the guys who, you know, watch too much ESPN and think he's the next coming of LeBron James or something, and he's already that good. So I personally don't do a lot of futures wagering just because of the hold from the book on that. But I did take a look at some teams that were kind of undervalued in my mind, and Kansas kind of stood out. You can get Kansas at over 20-1. You know, the reason I like them is that they had kind of a slow stretch. They're missing some big key players, but they've had a very tough schedule. Between them and Purdue, I really liked their schedule that they played so far. They've kind of gone through the gauntlet, and they've come out a better team for it. And I think that they might have some value once they get in the tournament. You know, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. Virginia was another team. You know, they're really good. I know last year you go there and you lose in the first round, right, to a 16, and there's a stigma against you where all of a sudden Tony Bennett can't coach. This team can't get it done when it comes to the tournament and all that. And I don't think that's true at all. I think that just, you know, any given day, one of these teams can beat another. And they are very strong, and you know, they might show some value at 10-1. But those are kind of the three that I looked at that had the biggest opportunities in my mind. How about you?
No, that's it's great. Virginia, for sure. I mean, defense, and they're coming in knowing what that can happen. They don't ever want to feel that again. You know, I mean, that's a these are the same players. They return players. You know, these aren't these one and dones there. So that's the angle there. I don't know if there's a lot of people that like the angle, unfortunately, and that's why the spread's not bigger than 9.5, 10-1 on Virginia. But there might still be some value there, or for a money line rollover. Possibly on old Virginia.
For sure.
So just I sometimes take some of these futures just to make straight money when these teams get to the tournament. I think you can find Buffalo at 75-1. They're going to be a decent seed, maybe four, maybe five out there. You know, they have a shot at getting to the Sweet 16, and then you might want to start hedging their that ticket right there. Another one that I was looking at, you have Iowa. They're a 100-1, and you know, I don't see them winning at all, and probably no Final Four, but they definitely have an explosive offense, and when they're hitting those threes, they can be a very dangerous team. Baylor's up there at 100-1, and Baylor was doing great until their injuries, so you might be able to make some money off that ticket. The most interesting one, I think we talked about it in a previous podcast, Utah State. You know, they're 500-1. They could possibly get in at large team if they don't win their tournament out there, but it's just Nevada in their way. So, you know, maybe some very, you know, half lunch money or something you can throw on Utah State, something you wouldn't mind kissing away, because you can certainly make some money off that ticket. Florida's 150-1. They just beat LSU. That might be enough to get into the tournament for them. Not a great non-conference schedule, but, you know, there's some value on some of those teams if you kind of want to hedge. So, you know, those are the kind of the ones that I was looking at, but definitely not interested, you know, in taking anything like Duke at 2-1 and Tennessee with at 15-1 with their bad defense. Yeah, that's a tough one too. That's just, those odds are just way overhyped. So
yeah, I agree with you on Tennessee. They kind of were taking advantage of a soft schedule early on. I think they're gonna kind of be exposed like they were against Kentucky, that they're not quite as good as their number one ranking indicated. So I'm with you on, there's more fade teams in my mind than there are ones that I'd really want to hop on.
Absolutely. And after Tennessee gets done with this gauntlet of schedule here at the very end, you'll probably get them at 25-35-1 come tournament time if you really like them. Better options when the tournament comes out, my man. Awesome. Well, let's get into a few of these games, shall we?
Sounds good.
All right, my man. And we have, I think the first one's on Friday here. We have, I'm just kind of shifting here on the computer. Kent State is going to Buffalo here. I believe the spread's going to be pretty high. I think my look ahead was around 16 point spread, 160 total is my look ahead line that I pulled up. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, that's pretty much right on the button of what I had model spit out, somewhere between 15 and 16 points here. And these are two teams that I don't know as well as others. Like, I don't think I've played on or against either one of these teams this year. But, you know, Buffalo has just basically annihilated their competition in conference. So it's tough for me when you get those bigger spreads to put an accurate number on there. But breaking down this game, you know, Buffalo is going to score. They shoot the ball incredibly well. Kent State, they let their opponents shoot pretty much career highs every time they step on the floor. So yeah. There's going to be a lot of points here, especially on the Buffalo side of things. You know, they don't have much size. Kent State doesn't have much size down low. So this would be a game for Nick Perkins to kind of step up. He had 20 points against them in their first matchup. He didn't play much last time out in their blowout win over Ohio. But the game before against Toledo, he went off for 26 points and 10 rebounds. I'm expecting another big game out of him. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really have a solid feel on which team I would lean towards on covering, but I don't think that we're on upset alert by any means here.
No, and I've been following Buffalo. You know, I was on them last game, minus 18 against Ohio. I thought this was going to be my hardest sweat, and they end up winning by 47 points, yeah. Scoring 114. So yeah. That was pleasant to see. you know, they almost hit the over themselves in that game. Yeah. You know, Kent State, on the other hand, they're kind of holding their own, 8-5 in the MAC. They won four of their last six games. This spread's going to be pretty large. You know, it's going to be 16, 17, 18. And I'm not so sure of a side, because Kent State, they kept up with Buffalo at home. They lost by 9 points. That kind of feeds into where the spread should be. You know, I think the game went to 167 earlier in the year, and that was at Kent State. Kent State's got the capability, when you look at, you know, what they've done, to play fast basketball. You know, somehow Buffalo plays even faster in conference at 77 adjusted possessions per game, you know, compared to 74.9 when you look at the whole season. So Buffalo's really turning up the speed here. But Kent State plays a little bit faster in the MAC conference at 69 possessions per game themselves, and the MAC is slow, so you know that it might even be a little bit greater than that. I like how Kent State averages 75.5 points per game. Buffalo averages 90 at home, so I'm probably going to take a small play on the over. I know it's going to be a high one at 160. Possibly look to see if that line goes down a little bit, see if some of those immediate bets hit that under. But I feel pretty safe at the 160 mark, all the way up to 164, 165. That's my personal preference in this. Don't want to lay the chalk. I think that I think the over is the way to look in this game.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, if I'm leading anyway, it's towards the over here.
For sure, man. All right, good. We got an agreement on the first one. Don't ever want to go against a sharp better like you right away. So that's good. Penn State versus Illinois is the one I have next. Illinois laying about 2 points. I have the over under 141. Have you looked at this game?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, my model kind of spit out the 3-point favorite here. Well, you know, what stuck out to me is that Illinois allows the most free throws of any defense in the Big Ten. But then you have Penn State, who is the worst free throw shooting team in the Big Ten. So can they take advantage? Who knows? At this point, every team has shot lights out from the free throw line against Illinois. So there might be a little bit of value there in terms of, you know, Illinois really as bad as they look, because their opponents have shot better than they should from the free throw line against them. So I don't think that translates very well. It's not like they're playing bad defense from the free throw line or anything. I think it's just a victim of some poor luck. You know, and then on the flip side, you have Penn State, who's been buried from the three-point line. Their opponents are making 41% of the shots from behind the arc against them. There's a little bit of defense there, but also, like, these teams are just shooting lights out against them. So I think both these defenses look a little worse than they are. I don't think Illinois is going to go out there and shoot, you know, 45% from the 3-point line against them. Mm-hmm. I don't do a lot of totals, but, you know, some of these signs to me are pointing towards more of an under. You know, I have to see what the number is and all that, but the value just from how teams have kind of been fortunate from the shot making process against both of these defenses would lead me to believe that the under would have some value.
Yeah, possibly. You know, Illinois is looked at as a fast-playing team, but the unders have been hitting the Big Ten. I did the analysis I mentioned earlier. Big Ten unders are about at 57% in conference right now. It's crazy. It's nuts. It is nuts, absolutely. And so really scary to bet an over in this. And I like your angle, because Penn State, you know, they just had that big game putting up 95 points, shooting 56% against an injured Nebraska team a few days back. You know, Penn State's a little rejuvenated. They won three of their last five games after that awful stretch of losing a bunch in a row. But Illinois, they're very much improved with Coach Brad Underwood there, and they're doing a fantastic job. And these kids are young, but they're just getting better. The two keys to this game, I think, is kind of the spot and the home road splits. You know, when the team that's isn't doing as good, you know, shooting, you know, when they, and then all of a sudden they had that great game like Penn State, I like to fade them the next time. That's just kind of one of my little rules. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Penn State could be looking ahead to Maryland as well. So I kind of like the spot that fades Penn State here. The Illini, coming off a good loss at a very desperate Wisconsin team, that Wisconsin just lost to Michigan and to Michigan State. They kind of had to beat Illinois, and Illinois was winning a lot of that game. Illinois played hard. You know, they've been on fire at home, though. You look this. It's they score 79.9 points per game at home, 46% from the field, when their overall average is only 73.8 and 43% from the field. That shows Illinois is a lot more dominant at home. And their defense is better at home, only allowing 72.3 points. Penn State, they're bipolar. They only score 65.6 points on the road and shoot 40% on the road. So Penn State is a bad road team here. They're one of the bad ones, and I like to pick on the bad ones, especially in the Big Ten, because that's what kind of where I, you know, I'm a Big Ten specialist, and that's where I definitely win the majority of my bets. But if you look in general on KenPom, Penn State shows the better team. But if you click on conference play, if you just look at what they did in the conference, Illinois shows better. So you're going to get an Illinois team only laying 2 points when they're actually better playing in conference and more improved. I like Illinois by 5. I'm going to lay the points with Illinois here, my man. I think that's one of the bigger bets here.
Yeah, I can't say I disagree. That's definitely the way I'd be leaning too.
Awesome. Well, let's move into a little ACC action. We have Virginia going to Louisville. Louisville is going to be getting about 5 points at home, a little home dog action. Over under, I have at 123. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I have Virginia lining about the same, 5-point favorite. This is two of the best defenses in the ACC, so unlike those Buffalo games, I wouldn't expect a lot of scoring here. I'd be surprised if this total got above 120. Looking at this last year, Virginia did manage to score 74-plus points twice against Louisville, and they only scored over 70 against one other team in the ACC, so they might have something figured out against that defense. Virginia's the best three-point shooting team in the ACC percentage-wise, but they don't take a lot of them. They do most of their scoring down low, and that leads to a lot of consistency. That's, you know, like we talked about the futures bets with Virginia, which is contrary to them actually losing last year and getting upset, as those teams that don't rely on the outside shot. They can't go on long scoring droughts. Those are the teams I like to kind of consistently beat teams in the tournament, and Virginia fits that bill due to that. But, can Louisville score enough to cover here? I don't know. Virginia's a rare team that limits how well opposing teams shoot from the three-point line. They don't give a lot of good looks to the opposing teams. And Louisville's made 36% of their attempts this year. If they can hit a few open shots, then I think they can keep this one close. But I honestly don't see it happening. I think Virginia takes care of business here.
Virginia with the 5 points there, and that's kind of one of those numbers you think, right? Sometimes think, yeah, about waiting on. Yeah, I don't know if this is a strong play for me. I know ever since the claps against Duke, Louisville certainly not been the same team. They've only been scoring 50. They had 56 points at home to Clemson, and they lost to Syracuse, putting up only 49 points there. It's just, they're disheartened or something. I don't know what's going on here. They're bipolar. They're weird. They beat teams like North Carolina. They should have beat Duke. I think they beat Michigan State this year as well. You know, they've had some big wins, and then they have some terrible losses. Pittsburgh, you know, they have some games that they should not have lost. You know, Virginia, man, you know, they lose to Duke a couple times. Duke's got their number. Then they go to North Carolina, take care of business. You know, that's some serious defense, you know, if you're stopping the Tar Heels this year. Both of these teams rank number one and number two in conference play and defensive efficiency in the ACC. So there's your under, right? Like you said, yeah, you'd be surprised that it gets to 120 points. And, you know, that's definitely the way I would lean. Louisville's weird. Like I said, they did beat UNC and lose to Pittsburgh. If you look at the home road splits, Louisville seems to score about the same at home and on the road. They play a little bit better defense at home, while Virginia is definitely a better home team than they are away team. And it's about a 10-point margin if you kind of look at points for, points against, defensive opponent points. Virginia definitely shows better at home. Now, Virginia hasn't had that tough of a road schedule, minus that, you know, Duke game, I think. And, I like the fact that Louisville can hit free throws. They rank number one in the SEC. Now, will they be able to draw those free throws against Virginia? I don't know. But when it comes to the low total, I'm almost leaning towards the points here. But I'll tell you right now, this, if I decide to take Louisville plus five plus five and a half or wherever it comes out to, it's certainly not going to be a big play on my side.
Yeah. No, to your point, something that does kind of speak to Virginia being overvalued a little bit is their opponents have shot the worst free throw percentage of any other team in the ACC during conference play. So that kind of thing I look at just as far as, like, you can't defend the free throw line, right? So, I mean, are they wearing these guys down and they get there with wobbly legs and don't make the normal rate against them or what it is? I just don't think it translates. I don't think it's something that they can keep up. So that would be my one knock against Virginia as far as why would they be overvalued. But, you know, if they played their schedule against everybody else except Duke, they wouldn't have a loss right now. So it's tough to tough to discount how good they've been as long as they're not going against freakish athletes. So
very true. Very true. But I'll tell you this. This game probably means more to Louisville than it does to, and I wonder if that Syracuse game, they were kind of looking ahead a little bit. So I guess those are my points. But the five, be tough to play it at five. I'd be hoping for a 5.5, 6 if you know, which you might get. You know, if you wait this sucker out, you actually might get that one. Let's move into Big 12 country. I know you like your Iowa State, and that I always like team. You know, sports bettors that have their best favorite team is in that division because they seem to know a little bit more about it here. West Virginia versus Baylor. Baylor's laying 12 points. The over under is 142. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I saw this game and I thought two things. West Virginia's dead to me after what they did to me the other night. I had them against Kansas State. And, you know, about halfway through the second half, I'm feeling pretty good. The score, I think, was tied 42-42. And next thing I know, I'm helping put the baby to bed. I come back, and they're down 14 points, haven't scored. So I hate them. They're dead to me. the other team here in my doghouse is Baylor for what they did to my Cyclones the other night up in Ames. Pretty much shut the door on them winning the Big 12 Conference. So we got two teams right now that I'm not a big fan of. And I had to go deep into this one for you, so just bear with me. But no, this definitely should be a double-digit win for Baylor. You know, ever since Bolden went out for West Virginia, this team's been awful. They weren't necessarily good before, but they were kind of competitive in some of their early losses. Texas Tech, Kansas State, they beat Kansas. But then outside of that, since their win over Oklahoma on February 2nd, they've gotten beat by 14-plus points every game without him. So I think that they're definitely reeling right now. You know, and Mason's not going to be bothered by any pressure that they put on him. He's a veteran guard. He's played really well against Iowa State. He'd missed a couple games with that knee injury, but, you know, after the way he played the other night, I'd say he's back to full strength. And whenever he has been going, this team has been really, really good. So I like Baylor to win this one. It's a lot of points, and I typically stay away from those double-digit kind of favorites, but like, this is another one where there's no upset alert in my mind. I can't see West Virginia being a live dog at all, but you know, maybe Baylor has a letdown after that big win. That'd be kind of the knock against it, but I like them to win pretty handily here.
No, man, that's I agree with you, and you look at these two teams. They both recently had those player issues. You know, Baylor lost 3 out of 4 games a few weeks back. Until they got Mekhi Mason back, you know, and shocking your Iowa State Cyclones last weekend. You know, that was on Tuesday was that. Yeah, it was recent. And that, you know, that's brutal. It was kind of like Iowa State's letdown spot. You know, West Virginia, ever since suspending their starters for the season, Esa Ahmad and Wesley Harris hasn't scored over 53 points. You know, they haven't scored over 53 points, literally.
Yeah, it's been ugly.
They've lost 4 games in a row, all by blowouts, you know. And when healthy, I think Baylor is a top 3 Big 12 team. You know, I really do. And, you know, I guess you can argue Kansas State, and Iowa State, but they're right there. I think Kansas is below them right now until they prove something. They rank number one in offense, right? And it's pretty crazy here. Iowa State's right there as well. You know, I think they might get that King McClure back this game too, because he was questionable for the last game. And, you know, a few extra days, you know, that just gives a little bit more power for Baylor. And McClure's their best 3-point shooter. So there you go. Everything is just pointing against West Virginia here. I think West Virginia ranks last in every single category in the Big 12. Yeah. If you look at on KenPom, Bart Torvik, all the sites, man. I'm going to keep fading West Virginia. I'm going to lay the 12. And I actually lean under here. I think West Virginia struggles to get up to 50 points, 55 points here. I think they lose like 70 to 55, something like that. So, I think Baylor, you know, turns off the dogs with 5 minutes left, and this is one of those easy blowouts. So that's the way I'm going to lean on this one. I think that's what I'm going to take.
That's about the only chance West Virginia has to keep this thing close is if Baylor does call off the dogs, I think. One of the things I like to look at, especially in the Big 12, is you got West Virginia is such a long travel distance from some of these schools. So definitely a team that I like to kind of back at home and a team that I like to fade on the road. So that kind of plays into this a little bit too, where I think Baylor is showing some value.
Fantastic, man. Well, I'm glad we're on the same side and pretty much most of these minus the Louisville one. So that's great. Want a quick mention. Weird things happened. And it's Duke versus Syracuse. I know I didn't throw this out to you, but it's just very strange. Mm-hmm. You heard what happened to Jim Boeheim this morning. He killed a guy, you know, in his car. Yeah. It was by accident, you know. And what's that mean? I'd be devastated, even though it's not my fault, but I'd replay it in my head, and the players got to be feeling for him. And then you have Duke with Zion out. You saw how terrible they played with Williamson out against North Carolina, but you know, at the same time, they haven't been hitting their threes either. Now they're going to Syracuse, and they're in a revenge spot. You know, Syracuse beat them this year at home, but I just wanted to throw that game out there because there's just going to be – it's just a lot of strange angles on this. Syracuse should be getting about six or seven points, maybe even a little bit less now. But over-under is going to be about 145. I think if I was going to bet this, and I haven't thought too much about it, I'd almost have to say Syracuse, maybe the team rallies behind Jim Boeheim. Have you thought about that yet?
Yeah, you know, this is one I'm definitely going to have to wait for more info on just because there's so many uncertainties behind it, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't catch much on the latest with Zion and his injury update. I imagine he's not going to play here. So that is going to come into effect. He definitely is worth a few points on the point spread. The weird stuff with Boeheim. So some other guy got out of the car, right? Because mm-hmm. he was already in an accident, and then Boeheim kind of came up. And I mean, it's just a rough deal. I don't know. That's something that I don't know how I'd react to. Not well. No. I know that. So, you know, how do you focus? You certainly aren't going to be able to prepare very well against this team, and it's a team that you're going to need some preparation for. And the revenge angle for Duke there, I don't know. It's this one's definitely one I'm going to keep my eye on and circle it for Saturday morning when I can read a little bit more about it and have a better idea of what's going to take place.
Yeah, either a five-star bet or a zero.
Right, exactly. You're gonna feel like an idiot either way, right? Like you either missed out on the lock of the year, or else you got suckered into a complete sucker bet.
Exactly, but I had to bring it up because of those two crazy things that kind of happened this week. Yeah. So,
no, that was nuts.
Thought I'd throw that out there, my man. Well, is there anything else that you want to bring up? Any other games that you looked at, or
you know, nothing? Nothing I've kind of got into for the weekend yet. The NBA was on break, right? So tonight's first night back.
Right.
I kind of been prepping to get back into the player props. I do a lot of player props just for free on my Twitter account at Boyd's Bets. And I had to get that all set up and running again, kind of ran some more numbers to see where we're going to go there. I put off the weekend college basketball handicapping a little bit. Didn't get much of a chance to look ahead.
Well, that's fine, man. But how could our listeners benefit from a lot of your handicapping expertise? Do you have any package deals for them?
Yeah, so I offer a lot of free stuff just on the Twitter account at Boyd's Bets. You can check me out there. I release, you know, some free games every day, kind of later in the day. If there's some late releases where the lines move to where I like them, I just throw them out on there. I do the player props on there for the NBA. If anybody's interested in player props, that's all free. Just kind of take a look. Those have had a nice ROI so far this season, about 7% over 1,000 plays. So definitely some value there. And then the premium stuff, you can find me at boydsbets.com, /Jimmy Boyd, is where you can find me there. most of the packages or whatever are pretty affordable. And that's where I put my best sides and totals, mostly sides for college basketball. And yeah, any listeners that contact me on Twitter, I can hook them up with a free $60 credit to give it a shot, give it a try this weekend.
Well, that is fantastic. All right, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. Learned a lot today. Love your articles. Love the website, my man. Have a fantastic weekend, and best luck on your bets.
All right. Thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks for having me on and tear it up this weekend.
All right. We had Jimmy Boyd. You can tweet him at Boyd's Best. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you have any questions, you can always tweet us at The Oddsbreakers. Have a great weekend, and go get some wins.